Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living in the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today we have a special show, one that I think is timely and very important for everybody in our society. We're going to speak with Ms. Kelly Hawley. She's an ordained minister and the founder and executive director of Warrior Bride Ministries, specializing in inner healing and deliverance for survivors of ritual abuse and child exploitation. Kelly has been ministering to survivors for over 15 years, including working as a director of healing retreats for Voice Today. While ministering to survivors with similar stories as her own, she noticed the Lord was sending many who had been trafficked. That exposed her to the bigger picture of ritual abuse and the lack of help available to trafficked survivors and those with dissociative identity disorder. After being called out of corporate America to start her own business about 10 years ago, her heart for seeing others healed and redeemed continued to be her growing passion. In 2021, the Lord led her to start Warrior Bride Ministries with the mission of providing biblical healing and restoration to child exploitation survivors. The office serves clients internationally. In addition to inner healing and deliverance, Warrior Bride Ministries partners with others in the healing profession to offer various therapies, life skill coaching, attachment, boundaries, and CSA support groups, and discipleship to survivors free of charge. Additionally, she embraces the call to unite the body of Christ to become educated and involved through church partnerships and hosting Counting the Cost conferences. She's had an amazing journey with the Lord, learning how to walk survivors through healing by incorporating mind, body, spirit, and soul for complete healing. And Ms. Hawley, I wanted to thank you so much for joining me out of your busy schedule.
Well, thank you, Dr. George. Thank you for having me today. I'm very excited to share with you some of the things that I've learned over these last 16 years.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to learning as well. I know that what you do is God's work, and it's extremely important. But, you know, we talk about, there's a lot of people who are injured in our society, whether that's military members, citizens who've been injured from any various source. And it seems to me there's an underlying tension or underlying issue that runs throughout anybody who's been damaged or hurt in some way. And that's their mindset and how they come to terms with it, I guess, and then how they express that. Do you find that that's something that is underpinning somebody who's been injured in such a way?
It definitely has to do with the mind. The battlefield is in the mind. And through these last few years, I've understood that to a greater extent than I could ever comprehend, that really was such a key. There's just so much to the brain and the mind, the way the Lord created it, that the depths of it are really not well known. You have a few people that have really explored it, and it's maybe starting to get a little bit more of a spotlight on it. But there's a lot of mysteries within the brain and the mind, and there's a lot of solutions. And there's also a lot of twisting from the enemy if he really wants to hurt somebody. One of the ways he makes sure he does is through the mind.
The mind is so powerful, and it's so plastic, really. There's so many things that people do to compensate, and we see this in whether that be some sort of addiction or being in a prison system or hurting yourself. What do you find is it because of the inability to really understand or accept what happened? What's the thing that you believe drives that turning inward of anger and rage and grief?
Well, I think that we were meant to be born into a loving, safe environment where we are cared for and protected and provided for. And for many, many people, that's not the case. Instead, what they got was the complete opposite. And even the people that should love them the most were involved in it. And so what happens is there becomes a wound in their heart that cannot easily be filled. And we often look throughout the world and the worldly things to try to fill that hole, and it just doesn't work. Also, if you traumatize a child prior to age 8, the chances of it changing the brain is higher. And some people, a lot of people, actually do that purposely to try to split the brain so that they could manipulate the child who will hopefully grow to be an adult. So again, it's going back to that brain, the mind, and the manipulation that has been going on in our society. Much of it is undercover, although again, the light is starting to be shine on it, and to a greater extent. We're starting to look at it, starting to see it, starting to be willing to talk about it, where for so many years, we were never willing to talk about it. It was generations of sweep it under the rug. You don't talk about what goes on behind closed doors, things of that sort. But that's changing somewhat. And especially for places like here and the other ones that are doing it, we're trying to make a safe environment where they can turn and they can find love and they can find safety so that they can start healing in a healthy way versus the solutions that the world currently has, which often ends up being a lot of medications and psych wards or homelessness or, you know, just things that don't end up leading to life, typically. They lead to death, ultimately, in one way or another. If it's not physical death, it's through your spirit or your soul. It hurts. You know, they've been so... so many of them, they don't trust the world, they fear the world, and you can't really blame them because of what happened. But at a certain point, it is our responsibility to give goodness an opportunity.
With the ministry that you have and the importance of Christ-centeredness, I think you made a really good point about the man's made the solution, which is usually pharmaceutical, versus something bigger, something more abundant, something that's not judgmental and all-encompassing. Do you find that people come to God when they are able to, or does coming to terms with what happened bring them to God? I guess that's the question.
Well, a lot of times, you know, there's something deep down in them that always desires him. But for a lot of people, quite frankly, they were young children and they called out to him and he didn't show up from their perspective. Now, we know that scripturally, he never left them or forsake them. He was there. But what a lot of people don't realize is that there's legalities in the spirit realm. And some of the people are just so deprived that they would torture them on purpose and tell them that the torture would stop if they would reject him and receive the enemy. And that really puts them in almost like a double bind where they want the torture to stop, so they're going to receive that. So now there's legalities in the spirit realm, and the will is the most powerful thing. And even if the will is manipulated, it's still your will to give or not give. And there's ties that go along with that. And so we see that often. So we try to help them see that there is a solution, that he is the healer, and that he does love them, and he was always there. It's heartbreaking, and that we just have to deal with things legally in the spirit realm, and we have to just take each part of them and start to heal them, show them that they're no longer in that awful place where all the bad people were and the torture was, and that they're now in a safe place with people that love them and care for them, and ultimately Yeshua, who loves them. And he starts to heal them. They start to be willing to give him a chance. And then when they see him show up, because they have changed their will to him, to shift it to him, and he shows up in amazing ways, and he heals those parts of them. And he continues to do it as long as they're willing to keep doing the work, because it is a process. A lot of people want it to be a magic wand where all they need is him and all they need to do is receive him as savior. But the truth is, it took a long time to for them to get to the place they are. And so there's an unwinding that has to happen. It's almost somewhat like a sanctification process. And depending on where you are in the continuum of trauma, how severe it is, determines how long it's going to take. That, and again, your will, choosing that I'm going to work at this and I'm going to work on it a lot and I'm not going to give up, that's going to help usher you into your healing faster than somebody that might have the mindset of the victim mentality, which, yes, they were, but they can now be thrivers instead of just survivors if they choose to, if they line their will that way to say, yes, I can. I'm not going to let the enemy steal any more of me or my life. And I'm going to choose to give him a shot to let him come in and heal and walk into life abundantly.
It sounds like this is a complete 180 from being powerless to taking your power back. And once that and having God be the head of your life, it sounds like it just opens so many doors. There's so much in throughout society, I think, feeling that whatever I want and whatever is right is being thwarted, and there's nobody who listens, and I'm just one person, and what can I do? It seems that pervades society, and what you're doing is you're changing the narrative for these folks. And once, I know for me, and I'm sure for most people, when you can take control and you actually can make decisions that move your life forward, I think it's just, you don't feel depressed. You don't feel the same way. You feel like there's an action that you can do to get yourself out of the rut. And it must be amazing to see that light come back on with people when they find that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, again, there's a variation in what the extreme of the trauma was, but there are many who come here in the fetal position. And to see them come alive and be functioning, and some that have just started their own ministry, and just, it is very rewarding. It's very rewarding work. It's not the easiest work. It's very labor intensive, but it's just very rewarding between seeing them totally change and find life and find him, which is life. There's not much like it. And, you know, scripture tells us that he is close to the brokenhearted. And I could tell you that I don't believe that I would have the encounters I have if I wasn't serving his children in this way. He is very close to them, and he shows up, and you just watch miracles occur, and it's amazing.
And it's, imagine living in that space every day, where I think most people just go through the motions. They veering from one catastrophe to the next, or one distraction to the next. This is really authentic. It's about living in the Spirit of God. There's nothing like that I can attest to, just like you. Yeah. So let's take our first break, because I want to go through some of the therapies and things that you do, that putting a more concrete face on how you help people help themselves. So let's take our first break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Ms. Kelly Hawley, and you can go to warriorbrideministries.com to learn about what they do and also to donate. Now, before the break, you were doing a wonderful job of giving us this feel for the spiritual side, the ethereal part of this healing journey. But you actually offer concrete things like teaching people life skills and getting them in a position where they can re-enter society. What are some of the things that you offer to help build that skill level?
So we're ever evolving. But right now, other than the spiritual, which is really a big part, and even doing what we call parts work, which is when they're fragmented or have multiple personalities, we work with each part to bring it together, which is has a spiritual component, but it also has, it's very concrete in terms of counseling and just the whole work there. But what we currently offer is every other Monday night, we do online church for the hurt. So it's a gathering place for them. So it doesn't matter where they're located in the United States. They can join us. And every other Tuesday night, when we don't have the Monday night church online, we have a support group nearby. And so we meet in person together. And then we have a counselor on site who helps with different skills, CBT and talk therapy. She has various skills that she uses. We also do an online quarterly teaching for DBT skills. These are skills that help you to stay mindful and help you to stay in peace, stay out of your emotional self, and stay in your smart brain. And we have a chiropractor that specializes in body memory release because the trauma is stored in the body. So he comes by twice a week. We have a biocharger, which is frequency healing, because again, there's a lot of trauma stored in the cells and in the body. So, and their bodies have been through the ringer. So we do different things like that. We promote natural eating, natural healing, herbs, aromatherapies, homemade lotions, things of this sort. We're just about to start our first session of sand tray therapy. So we'll have group sand tray therapy. We do community. We have Shabbat dinners once a quarter. We keep a biblical feast and we invite them to come join us in it. What else? We're always trying to see. And then we have partners that have partnered up with us and allow some of the survivors to come to their facility and utilize a tapping table, which is a therapy, or a PEMF table, which is another modality of that helps with trauma release. So we're just continuously, you know, seeing what the Lord brings, who he brings. We're hoping to start equestrian therapy soon through a partner, and that should happen, you know, within a month or so. And so, you know, there's different modalities that he's bringing every day with different people. I have my hands full with meeting with them on the spiritual side and overseeing the ministry. And I also lead the two groups, Monday and Tuesday. So my hands are kind of full. So I really need everybody to come and do whatever he's gifted them with to get this healing. And I don't charge anyone. Which is, you know, a definite step in faith, because I have to, you know, I have the facility so that they can come and do all these things and, you know, everything that goes along with that. So we're looking for people whose hearts are willing to do the same, to serve him and his children, you know, even if it's once a month or whatever. There's some talk of starting art therapy and movement therapies. So whoever the Lord sends that's willing, that has the right heart for them, we're incorporating it and offering it. We also do, you know, the Counting the Costs conference every year. And this one is coming up October 20th through 22nd. And that's a real educational time for us to help teach really everybody from society to the survivors, to the helpers. We have some of the best in the country that will be here and teach, you know, the depths, the reality of all this that's going on.
So it sounds like it's a real all hands on deck, now the spiritual side. And you mentioned a lot of the natural healing modalities. What about the typical medical professionals, you know, doctors and nurses? Are they also involved from the, you know, the nuts and bolts side of it?
I absolutely would welcome them. We need them. There are several, you know, if you can imagine, a lot of their bodies are very broken and they just have a lot of needs. And we find it's a struggle when there's one that needs one, especially a lot of people will move here to where the office is because they don't have anything like this in their state and they're desperate. I do online, and it can really help for a lot of people. But if you're on the extreme of the spectrum, it's really so much better to be here. So I have people that move here, and that might mean that their insurance no longer works, or it might mean they had to leave their job, or they're in need. And medical is definitely one place that they need it. And even dental, because that can be an interesting challenge. But, you know, on the extreme, there was a lot of abuse with the dental as well, within their mouth and stuff. And so it's a big step when they're willing to go and get some treatment that maybe they've never had because of the fear of what happened to, you know, around their mouth and stuff.
Well, I can imagine it takes a lot of trust to be vulnerable physically again with a practitioner. I think it sounds like it's so comprehensive. You get the mind and you get the spirit in line aligned, and then the mind. And then I think probably everything else tends to fall into place a little easier because there's trust once the person is rebalanced. Is that a way to see it?
I mean, yeah, it definitely starts helping, and things start when they get the trust. Then that's a huge, huge, huge step, because trust is really hard for them. But yeah, when they start seeing that you're consistent, that you're really there for the real reasons, and that you have no ulterior motive other than to love them and love him and let him love them through me or anyone else that comes here, they start to drop their walls and they start to be willing to try some of these things that before they probably just were too fearful and went into isolation and were in their own cage, you know, they were in their own, they're in their own lockdown because of what happened to them.
Now, one of the things that you said, I want people to really, really understand, is the connection between the body, the cellular level, you know, the biochemical level, memory of the body remembering trauma, and how these different modalities unlock that. The red light therapies, I know PMF is energy that goes into the cell and probably puts more negative ions in and charges the cell, and therefore it recovers. But how does red light therapy work? Do you know? And I'm just curious.
Yeah, that is not my lane.
Okay.
I love all those modalities, but you know, I don't have the time to like study them out the way I'd want. So I rely on the people that he has sent that is their lane. I know I have a little infrared thing that I've been using just recently, and I let the survivors that come here use it. But I can't say for sure, but I have heard good things about it. And I would really like to explore that. I just have the little one right now. I do know that one of the ladies that is newer with partnering has she has an infrared sauna, and she actually has a stand-up infrared too. And when I asked her about that, she did say a lot of it has to do with, I thought she said the skin, but the one that I bought was for the thyroid. And then I heard somebody say that another at a podiatrist, they put a red light on her feet and it took the pain away. So it might have a lot of different uses.
It's amazing how many things are out there that are outside of the typical cut and dried prescription model. I mean, we're such complex creatures, and you know, the mind and body are connected, I think, so intimately that you cannot separate them. And it's really wonderful to know that you don't have to be physically here. So you offer doing this, people can join online, or what is it, like a tele, what's the modality? Is it calling in on a conference, or how do people receive help if they don't live in the state?
So they do the first step, which is for everybody, is they go to our website, www.warriorbrideministries.com. They hit book appointment, and then they'll be given a portal where they'll do some paperwork, and then they will be contacted and put on my schedule. I do the initial sessions, and I kind of, you know, get a feel for what's going on with them. And most of the time, they'll be with me for a little bit. Just depends. Again, it could be one appointment. It could be 400 appointments. It just depends. But then I'll make a determination of, okay, this person really needs to go and get some skills right now before we go any deeper. And so I would maybe put them with a counselor, or I would put them in the attachment group that we have with teaching with attachments, healthy attachments, because that's a real thing that's an issue for really everybody, but particularly if you've had trauma. Or maybe they need to go into boundaries class, or, you know, I'll try to figure out what lines up with their current need, what's being shown to me is the priority with what class is about to start. That can be done online, because not all of it can be done online. Obviously the ones that you have to, you know, lay on a bed or sit in front of or whatever, that you can't do that stuff. But you can do the different church online. You can do all the different sessions with me. You can do counseling. You can do DBT classes. You can do attachment and boundaries, and you know, we'll see what else the Lord leads, but this is all free of charge. I don't charge anyone. So many people are not getting their healing also because they can't afford it. So many people are charging, gosh, $150 an hour. I mean, I even know one place that charges $350. I mean, just so expensive, and they don't have that money. So if they can even get that much, if they're not here, you know, near the office, and they can't move here, if they can even get that much, that's a big win, especially spiritual work, because I can do a lot of spiritual work online.
You know, this is such an amazing service that you offer, mental health side of our healthcare system. It's so poor, and you're right, it's very expensive, and it's just wonderful to know that people can reach out to you. Now, I know you specialize in a subset of people who've been traumatized, but what about people who've, let's say, military members or people who've had PTSD from domestic violence or something else? Are they able to access your system, or is it really geared towards this patient or this population of folks?
So I see everybody. I have absolutely met with military men, and actually their whole family, and other traumas. It's just a little rare that somebody doesn't have some sexual abuse, because statistically, we have a country of rampant with sexual abuse in one way or another. Statistically, it's 1 out of 3 females and 1 out of 5 or 6 males, but that's what's reported. And you'll find that next to nobody reports, because of several different reasons: the psychology behind it, the manipulation behind it, the threats behind it, all kinds of reasons. So in my opinion, you can easily double that. So now I start to have, you know, the chances of you having some kind of sexual abuse is very, very high. And a lot of times it stems from that. Like, that usually would happen, I mean, a lot of times as a child. Now, sometimes it happens later when you have rape and stuff like that. But even then, a lot of times, not always, but you become more vulnerable. And you also, to me, there's a spirit attached, where now everywhere you go, it seems like you're a target for the perversion and the sexual abuse in some way, shape, or form. Now, it's also interesting, I have friends that have ministries for the military, and we talk about how there's some real commonalities with this. And this gets kind of into the stuff that maybe we don't want to really get into, but some of the PTSD can be linked together there with the military and the children and all that.
Interesting. Let's take our second break, because I want to ask, as lay people, you're anointed to do this. I mean, what you do is really just impressive. But for those of us who are not so attuned, I want to ask how we can get involved, how we can identify people and try to help in the best way that we can. So let's take our second break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living Solution. People can go to warriorbrideministries.com and learn more and read about the different modalities that is offered. Ms. Holly, I wanted to expand our conversation outside of what professionals to lay people. I mean, we see people every day. We interact with them in all sorts of conditions. Is there something that we as humans need to look for to actually identify someone who's in trouble?
Well, there are several signs, although I would also say that sometimes people compensate for the wound and the abuse by being overachievers. They're really trying to perform because then maybe they'll be loved. I know that I fell in that bracket at times in my life where if I'm the top of, whatever I'm doing, then people will like me. I'll have the love that I always wanted. So you can't go direct strictly by this. And that lasts for a while, but at some point it starts to break down and the cracks start showing. So you can't go totally by this. But a lot of times if it's a child, if certainly if there's any bruises or anything like that, if they're not well kept, if they have clothing on that's out of season, if they keep their head down a lot. If they won't really look you in the eye, there's a lot of guilt and shame associated with this that they carry. If you're communicating with somebody and they start dissociating a lot, they start to wander a lot of times that can be a symptom of abuse that has occurred. They're dissociating, they're leaving. They're in some ways leaving their body a little bit, just kind of floating out. And that's something that is a symptom. Now, that can be on, again, a continuum of how severe that dissociation is. But dissociation, a lot of us dissociate when we're driving down a highway and we're just kind of on autopilot. Next thing we know, we're there. We hardly remember even getting there. We're just kind of on autopilot. We're just kind of a form of dissociation. But this can go much more severe to multiple personalities. And that would be the people who have had extreme trauma. And there's so many more than we realize. A lot of times, those parts of them will stay hidden because they're not in a safe environment, that they know that they won't be loved and accepted if they show themselves. A lot of people start to fear that they are like demons. And certainly there can be demons associated with it, but the part of them is not. The part is a scared child frozen in time because of the severe trauma that they went through. So there's different things, but there's not a surefire way to tell because of the ways we try to compensate for our trauma, as we're older. And then if you're younger, I think a lot of times you have to listen to your spirit within, like really look at if something looks a little off, really look at it and say, what are you showing me? And I think it's better safe than sorry. Like if I was with a child and somebody thought something was wrong, I'd rather have them call because if I'm innocent, what do I have to lose, right? But if I'm guilty, you may have saved really even a life. But don't go crazy on it, but really be observant. Does the adults that they're with look like they're, and I can't even say this, I was gonna say respectable, but the truth is this happens at the top of all of society. So they have a real good cover going on. And so you can't even totally go by that because you might think that they're the most, respectful, everybody looks up to, what a nice guy. Well, that's just a front too. So you can't really go by that.
This is so, it's complex, and it does take being, I guess, not just observant, but attuned energetically. I think that's another skill, actually. I think people are not really, they're just, as I said a minute ago, going through the motions and just veering from one distraction to the next. When people, let's say the people do have an inkling, is Warrior Bride Ministries an avenue that someone can call and say, I think there's an issue? Or, I mean, how should people, once they have that, how should they approach it? What's the safest, most efficient way, in your opinion, to get people help?
Well, there are hotlines. We don't really have a hotline. I don't have the staff for that, but there is hotlines. I think Rescue America is one that I believe has a pretty good reputation, Out of Darkness, Frontliner, or, you know, Frontliners, I think it's called, is another one. Their specialty is going in and, you know, rescuing. Oftentimes, a lot of it is more of the prostitutes, the little bit older. I do have some people that actually will be at my conference that specialize in the more undercover stuff, and they're going to talk about a lot of that and the details on that. Now, I do have some that we go and we pick up because, you know, if I call these other groups and they're not able, and if we're able, then we have been known to drive across the country to go get somebody. We've taken people from different parts of the country because we were able to. So we did, but that's not our specialty. But I think all of us have to cross over sometimes, but, you know, and to perfect our lane, but then also come together because we are part of the body. We're not the whole body. We're part of it, but we also help when we can.
Well, that's good to know. I mean, it's not you against the world trying to help somebody. Now, I know you're having this conference. I want to take our last break because I want to have enough time for you to give us more background on that. And I know it's coming up, so it's really nice that we have enough time so people can actually register and come to this conference. So let's take our last break and come back. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living in the Solution. We're speaking again with Ms. Kelly Hawley of Warrior Bride Ministries, and I know that you have a conference coming up here in Georgia, and I wanted to get more information about that. You said this is not your first conference. How many have you, when did it start?
3 years ago. So I've ministered to the sexually abused for about 16 years now, and the first 10 years was with a ministry called Voice Today, and then they closed down. And I started just ministering, like, wherever, you know, wherever the people were, wherever the Lord led me. I was trying to get into churches and stuff and have them, you know, make a space for these people, but that did not work well. There were no open doors. So the Lord finally led me to actually start a ministry, you know, get an office and start a ministry officially. And I did. And that was about 3.5 years ago. So our first conference was, this will be our third year, so it was 2 years ago, I guess. And each one has been a little different. A lot of them were like very, very big retreats. We'd have about 125 people, and we would house and feed and all of that. We'd have like 28 speakers. This particular one is a little bit different. It's going to be at the Georgia Gun Club in Kennesaw, Georgia, October 20th through 22nd. We're going to have Friday night, a dinner, the speakers are going to speak a little bit and have a dinner, and it's going to be more for the frontliners. Now, anybody can be a frontliner, but these are the people who really want to know the nuts and bolts. They want to know the truth. They want to really get into it, and they're going to have an opportunity to speak with the speakers, who, in my opinion, are the best in the country, and ask questions, get advice. There'll even be opportunity for prayer sessions. So that's Friday night, and so you could choose to come to that or not. The main conference starts Saturday morning. 9 o'clock and goes till 6 o'clock, where we'll have a bunch of different speakers on various topics. We want to cover sex trafficking in the U.S. in all different ways. Sound of Freedom did a really good job for those who are totally asleep about child sex trafficking. But what it did also do is kind of deflect from the U.S. And this is like an issue for third world countries in the jungles, and you have to be a superhero. Well, meanwhile, the U.S. is the belly of the beast. So we want to bring the focus back to our own backyard and see what we need to do to put the oxygen on our mask, the mask on ourselves, so that we can help others. So we're going to talk about the different types of trafficking, and then we're going to deep dive into the abuse that creates the most traumatized, the most rampant in the U.S., in my opinion, the most secretive that's under our nose. So we're going to expose and we're going to teach, and it's just needed. Somebody's got to do it. We have to quit not being willing to talk about it. We need to educate. We need to help people understand that we all have a place in this fight. You might not be able to do what I do, because this is the gifting I have, but you have something. You have prayer that you can do. You can be an intercessor. You might have the finances. We need finances. You might be the person who can be an admin for me. You might be the person that can do the medical. There's a place for all of us, and we have to join this. In my opinion, this is our modern day slavery. I think there's always been a group that has kind of had a focus on them in terms of the abuse, in terms of the death and bloodshed, just feeding the enemy. And I believe at this time, it is the children. I think the children have always been at risk, but this particular time, there's a huge, huge emphasis on the children, because they have found that if they get a hold of them prior to 8, that they can break and fragment their mind, and they can train them, and they can do a lot of things. So we want to bring the focus, and we want to not back down, and we want to raise up the Lord's army. We're not meant to be fearful. We're not meant to be afraid and hovering in our houses. We're meant to rise up.
I couldn't have said it better. And from a prevention standpoint, are there things that loved ones, parents, grandparents, you know, family members, teachers can do to block this, or to stop or make it less easy for children to fall into these, you know, nefarious situations?
Yeah, so the ministry I mentioned that I was with for 10 years, she has picked up the mantle again, and she had done many courses. She's got like 14 books, many courses targeting the children and teaching them things that would be great to get into the schools. It would be great for each family to have. She even has position power to protect, a program there that has been used at MCG. So she's got, that's kind of her niche, a big part of her niche is producing these programs and literature and education on it. So it's kind of, I would say, prevention. And she will be at the conference, and she will be speaking, and she will have a table with a lot of that. So again, come out and meet us all and see the different material that you can get, the different education. We also will be having a dinner Saturday night, and that would be hopefully to pay for the conference, a little bit of a fundraiser, which we need sponsors for. And then we'll be meeting for a few hours on Sunday before we wrap it up.
It sounds like very comprehensive, and everybody's welcome, it sounds like. And you just said the mouth will, everybody's got a skill that they can add to this. So it's not like if you can't be on the front line, you can still support, because it's one, everybody's necessary, frankly. Even prayer is necessary, correct?
Absolutely. I absolutely need intercession at all times. I also have people that get online with me and intercede during the online sessions. I have people that come to the office and join the sessions for intercession, and some that just go into the prayer room and lift up the ministry and the survivors. We need it all.
From the standpoint of the political side of this. This, it sounds like this is all grassroots. There's no political involvement in this. Am I correct in that?
Yes, we believe this is an issue that transcends everything. It transcends what political affiliate you have, what color your skin is, what sex you are. It transcends everything. Everybody, this affects everybody. Even if you think it doesn't, well, count your lucky stars for right now, but it's at your door. It's your neighbor. It's in your neighborhood. It's at your school. It's at the sports teams. It's at the club. It's everywhere. And so we have got to stop thinking it's not our problem, because it is. And most of the time, if you were to really ask your family members, you'll find that at least one of them has had sexual abuse. They just didn't dare say.
That's chilling, actually. That statistic of every three women, and was it one every five men? That's amazing. I had no idea it was that high.
And so that's what's reported.
And right. Oh my gosh. That's
reported. So
it's even worse. I mean, so you think about all the negative parts of our society, the addiction and prison and the people who end up there. I wonder what percentage of that population have been damaged in such a way. And so they lash out in whatever way as a way to, I don't know, get their feelings out, I guess is a better way to put it that.
Well, I mean, I could take a guess and I'd go in the 90s. I mean, because it produces an anger, it produces a fear, it produces wanting revenge, not liking this world. You know, it can produce that, like it often does. The difference is if you're willing to hear that still small voice and try something different and try him out and see if he'll bring the light into that darkness and change your world.
It's that willingness to let go and have faith and trust in God is such, it's powerful and it is liberating. I mean, there's one thing I've learned, obviously you learn a lot as you grow, as you get older, but what you can't control, you have to let go. And that is part of this also loss of control, that you get anxious and angered and all these other emotions that get pent up. Is it due to that?
Well, okay, so this is a whole nother part of our society. In my opinion, and probably the opinion of a lot of people, we have a society that's very narcissistic. And a lot of that stems from abuse where you had no control. And so now you want to try to control your life because you want to have the outcome you want. You want to try to make sure nobody hurts you, nobody does this, nobody does that. And so it evolves into a very narcissistic personality often if you don't get it under control, if you don't get your healing. There's a book, there's a few books that are really just amazing. One of them is called The The other one I have is The Other Half of the Church. It's by Jim Wilder and Michael Hendricks. And then they wrote a book also, like the second book after this is Pandora's Problem or something. I don't know if you looked it up, but it's about the narcissism and what created it and how to diffuse it. Really interesting stuff. And a lot of it goes back to the brain again. You know, we're kind of circling back from where we started. It goes back to like us being so, you know, left brain instead of having both left and right brain and having it flowing from one to the other and getting a really healthy balance there. And what's interesting about that is some of the abuse that these people endure, part of what they're doing purposely is to make the two sides of the brains not communicate, because then they can again manipulate more and may have a lot of reasons behind that, but I don't know if you want to go down that road. But that book and the one that deals with the narcissism that they wrote this after that is really very good books that can really show you what's going on in our society, part of what's going on in our society.
From the standpoint of identifying and preventing, obviously the earlier you get to somebody, the better, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a layering that goes on with the abuse. And so if you can keep those layers to a minimum, that's, you know, obviously better, less layers to work through. Sometimes it's interesting, depending on a lot of things. Sometimes the younger ones are not willing to open up yet. Mm-hmm. They're still stuffed it so much. But if you have parents that are willing to do the work and willing to turn to the Lord, there are legalities. We talked a little bit about legalities in the beginning. Mm-hmm. There are legalities in the spirit realm where they have authority over them until the age of reason, which is whenever they come conscious of, you know, right and wrong and different things. It's usually maybe around age 12, and then an age of accountability, which is more around 20. If the parents can intercede and break a lot of stuff off for them. So if the parent is willing to do the work, because often this stuff is generational, that's a whole other thing. It's often generational, passed down, the iniquities passed down. So if the parent is willing to step up and be one of the ones to break it and do their work, then they can stand in the gap for their child and break the authority, you know, use their authority to break the legality. So it's almost like a reverse from what we talked about in the beginning. In the beginning, somebody had authority over them that allowed this, or maybe even perpetrated it, or was part of it. And that allowed them to get into part of the spiritual bondage they were in. But now, as you walk into the light, if the person is willing, then you can undo it, and you can undo it for your child if they're younger. Does that make sense?
It does, and it's actually quite empowering.
Yes.
Wow. Now, in the minute or so that we have left, please let us know again how people can go to your website, sign up for the conference coming on, and volunteer and give, because what you do is absolutely necessary.
Absolutely. So that's www.warriorbrideministries.com or org. And if you go on there, there is a donate button, and you can click on it and donate. There is a book an appointment button. You can click on it and request an appointment and do the paperwork. There is a volunteer section where you would fill out a volunteer form, and then we would be back in touch with you to see what your gifting is, what your ability and what your time frame, and just kind of find a good match for you. And again, under events, you'll have the conference, and I'm hoping that you all will come out. This is a rare opportunity to have the people together that are on the front lines. We haven't even been together. Some of us have been like with the person on our own, but not all of us together, where we can strategize and see what each one of us is learning and what we can implement. And together in unity, we are stronger.
I think that's a great place to stop. And we're stronger because of God and with God. I'd add that as my little add-on.
Absolutely. Can do any of it without him.
I want to thank you. God bless you for everything you do. It was an absolute honor to talk with you. And thank you very much for everything.
Well, thank you for having me. And again, I welcome everybody to join the fight.
Thank you. And thank you, everybody, for living in the solution.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.